Well, good morning and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. We're delighted that you're here. We're delighted that the jazz band has joined us this morning. For 2 years now, our jazz mass on Shrove Tuesday has been snowed out. And so we thought it might be appropriate to invite them to come and help us celebrate Easter. So thank you so much for doing that. We're delighted that you're here. Welcome to all of you. You may be here for the first time, you may have just begun attending, or you may have attended for many years or even generations. Welcome. We're delighted you're here. I hope you'll look at your bulletin insert. There are lots of ways you can get involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. I'm going to lift up a few of those. First of all, our introductory course to membership and life here at West End, West End 101, began today, but you could join it next week as well if you'd like to learn more about West End or the United Methodist Church. It's in Aaron Racine's office, 301 at Sunday school time. You might want to join us next week. Also, our fifth annual Great Day of Service will be April 23rd. It will be a potato drop. We'll have one project. You can read about that on the insert in your bulletin. Also, our communion offering will go to support that potato drop. Our Connections class, which is designed for those folks who aren't already involved in a Sunday school class but might like to explore that possibility, meets at Sunday school time, 9:45 in McWhorter Hall. The host class this month is Making Room. So if you haven't taken advantage of that, make a note to do that next week. We have two more concerts coming up, April 7th. Wilma Jensen, concert organist, will be in recital here in the sanctuary. And also at that same event will receive the American Guild of Organists Distinguished Artist of the Year Award. That's at 7 p.m. on April 8th. And then on April 10th at 4:30 p.m., the Vanderbilt School of Music choirs will be presenting music ranging from Bach to the Beatles. That will be at 4:30 on the 10th. Both concerts are free. We hope you will come, and we hope you will bring your friends. Did you ever travel with a companion who knew just when you needed to have a little space, a little time for yourself, but also knew just when you needed a little companionship? Well, believe me, that's what it's like being on pilgrimage with Jesus.
Praise ye the Lord. Christ is risen. Praise the Lord. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord.
Give praise for God's mighty deeds. Give praise for God's resurrecting power.
Praise God with the sound of trumpets.
Praise God with tambourines and dancing.
Praise God with strings and pipe and loud clashing cymbals. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. As forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us join together for the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, so I don't feel bad. My throat doesn't hurt. It's going to be a lot harder on you listening to me than it's going to be on me speaking to you. It's like the old thing we used to say when you went to the doctor and got a shot, except in reverse. This is going to hurt you a lot more than it is me. I hope you can keep up. My voice is almost gone. It sounds like I'm doing the whole sermon in a stage whisper. Just imagine that. We're sharing a secret. Last week, we talked about how in Luke, the appearance of Jesus is delayed. It doesn't happen at the tomb. It happens much later in the day. And when Jesus is recognized, after people have walked with him for a while, he's only recognized by something he does. He breaks bread. Now, this week, we've jumped over to John. And for John, there's an appearance right at the tomb. Mary Magdalene is there. She turns. She thinks she sees the gardener. But when the gardener calls her name, Mary, she recognizes the gardener is Jesus. She goes and she tells the others. The others are hiding because they're afraid that what happened to Jesus might just happen to them. They're in a locked room. And Jesus comes to them. Just like Jesus gave Mary what she needed to receive him, calling her by name, he gives them what they need to recognize him. He shows them his wounds, his hands, his side. In his woundedness, they recognize who this is. This is Jesus. Well, we're only told after this had happened that one of the disciples was not there, Thomas, who is also called the twin. Now, Thomas was gone, but we're not told why. Everybody else is hiding out for fear of their lives. He was the one who went out for a hamburger. Not a cheeseburger, mind you, just a hamburger. He's kosher still. Or he went out to do a little shopping. Maybe we should call him Fearless Thomas. In any case, when he gets back, all of his buddies are saying, "We've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord." And Thomas says, "Yeah, right." When I was in college, a friend of mine, Wayne Snodgrass, happened to meet a music producer named Felix Pappalardi. For those of you of my generation, Felix Pappalardi was the bassist for a group called Mountain. He also produced the group Cream, okay? So anyway, Wayne was talking to him, and Wayne had heard that a very famous rock musician had converted and become a Christian. So he asked Felix Pappalardi about this, and Pappalardi responded, "That may very well be, but I doubt it seriously." That became a part of our common conversation among my friends in college. If someone said something that was even the slightest bit doubtful, we would say, "That may very well be, but I doubt it seriously." That's what Thomas is saying. Thomas is looking at his buddies and saying, "That may be that you saw the Lord, but I'm not doubting him, I'm doubting you, because I know you guys all too well. When I get to put my fingers in the hand wounds and my hand in the wound in his side, then I'll believe." About a week later, Jesus appears again. And what does he do? He offers Thomas exactly what Thomas asked for. He says, "Here, put your fingers in the wounds. Put your hand in my side." He doesn't condemn him. He doesn't say that his questioning his friends was wrong. He simply offers Thomas what it would take for Thomas to recognize him, just like he offered the other disciples his wounds, just like he called Mary by name, just like at that little town in Emmaus he broke bread. Now, we're not told that Thomas actually touches Jesus. It's interesting. In the story, as soon as Jesus offers, Thomas says, "My Lord and my God," which of course takes us back to the very beginning of the Gospel of John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus isn't just the Messiah or Son of God. He is God incarnate. Thomas recognizes that, perhaps without even touching the wounds. We're never told. You know, wouldn't it be interesting if Jesus came to each of us in the very way that we could best receive him? For some, in the breaking of bread around a table at a restaurant or at home. For some, the breaking of bread here. For some, when we hear our name called. For some, when we see the woundedness of the world and those around us, we recognize Jesus with us. Several years ago, a woman named Sarah Miles wrote a book about her own pilgrimage, and we here at West End are still on pilgrimage. It's called Take This Bread. She writes about her spiritual journey in part because it's such an unlikely journey. Sarah Miles was raised by two atheist parents. They wanted nothing to do with church. They wanted nothing to do with the kind of Christianity that they saw all around them, especially as promoted in the media. Frankly, I don't want to have anything to do with that kind of Christianity either. She was raised in a secular household, never taken to church. She said, I had never heard the gospel read. I had never said the Lord's Prayer. Things we take for granted. She was very interested in helping other people and literally traveled around the world to help in causes of injustice, but never connected that with the church. Until one Sunday, she was taking a long walk in San Francisco. She walked past a church that she had walked past numerous times, St. Gregory of Nyssa Episcopal Church. St. Gregory of Nyssa had taken it upon themselves to enliven their traditional worship with some of the customs that come out of the Middle Eastern tradition. Just like today, we're enlivening our worship with some of the customs that come out of the Dixieland tradition. She heard the sounds coming out the door and she went inside. She was fascinated because she had never really experienced anything like this before. And then they came to the part of the service where they celebrated Holy Communion. And someone said, "You are all invited to this table." Now, she had never darkened a church door, didn't know anything about Christianity, didn't have a very good opinion of Christianity. She was a liberal. She was a lesbian. And they said, "You are all invited to this table." Let me read to you how she describes that experience. "We sat down and stood up and sang and sat down, waited and listened and stood up and sang. It was all pretty peaceful and sort of interesting. Jesus invites everyone to his table," the woman announced. "We started moving up in a stately dance to the table in the rotunda. It had some dishes on it and a pottery goblet. Then we gathered around that table. There was more singing and standing, and someone was putting a piece of fresh crumbly bread in my hands and saying the body of Christ and handing me a goblet of sweet wine saying the blood of Christ. And then something outrageous and terrifying happened. Jesus happened to me." Sometimes we forget that these early resurrection experiences are outrageous and terrifying for those who are going through them. She was welcomed to the table. This person who might not have been welcomed in other settings, who was not particularly interested in being a part of this group, was simply welcomed to the table. And she found herself being hungry to come back. And so she did. And over time, she became a part of that congregation. Over time, she helped them develop a food bank and a feeding program for people who otherwise would have gone hungry. That's why, when the invitation is issued here, all are invited. Because it's not our table, it's Jesus' table. And he wants everybody to be around the table. There are no qualifications to be at this table, except that you're learning, you're yearning for that love that God has to offer, and you may not even know that you're yearning for. She writes a little more about her experience. She says, "It may seem crazy at this point in history to assert that any religion, much less Christianity, the religion of our contemporary empire, of the powerful and the intolerant, can be a force of connection for healing, for love. It may seem deluded to assert that people can still be fed with this ordinary and yet mystical bread, so besmirched and exhausted and poisoned by centuries of religious practice in ways that will change our own real lives, not to mention the world, for the better. But this is my belief, she writes, that at the heart of Christianity is a power that continues to speak to and to transform us. As I found to my surprise and alarm, it could speak even to me. Not in the sappy Jesus and cookies tone of mild-mannered liberal Christianity, or the blustering, blaming hellfire of the religious right. What I heard and continue to hear is a voice that can crack religious and political convictions open, that advocates for the least qualified, least official, least likely, that upsets the established order and makes a joke of certainty. It proclaims against reason that the hungry will be fed, that those cast down will be raised up, and that all things, including my own failures, are being made new. It offers food without exception to the worthy and the unworthy, the screwed up and the pious, and then commands everyone to do the same. We're about to do that for you, to offer that same bread and that same cup. You know, we are on pilgrimage here. And maybe it's not so much a pilgrimage to Jesus as it is a pilgrimage with Jesus. And our job is to ask that our eyes and our ears and our minds and our hearts and our lives will be opened to recognize him in the way he comes to us, in the breaking of the bread, in our name being called out, in the woundedness of those around us, the woundedness of those everywhere. And we look and we see the risen Christ in the least likely, because he is with us even when we don't recognize it. This pilgrimage we are taking is a pilgrimage with our companion who never deserts us, even when we're unaware, who is always with us, and who welcomes everyone. Perhaps this risen Christ comes to us again and again and again in the way we can best receive him. And that way may just surprise you, my friend.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We're glad you're here, and we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you might have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can look for their blue name tags. If you're a college student, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and time for fellowship and faith discussion. It'll be immediately following this service, and you can meet them in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side, you may record any comments for staff and lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please make sure to indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side is a place for your prayer request. Please make sure to indicate if they are to be shared or kept confidential. And then this card can be placed in the offering plate as they are passed down in a few moments. Also, take a moment to record your attendance by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle, if you haven't already done so. And as it's passed back, make sure to look and see who's worshiping next to you this morning and greet them after the service if you haven't already. This morning, we offer sympathy to Claire Vest and Rachel Gadd and their family, who are mourning the death of Claire's father and Rachel's grandfather, Robert L. Townsend, who died March 21st in Florence, Alabama. And also Donna Westbrook and her family are mourning the death of her father, Donald Keith Gilbert. He's an affiliate member of West End UMC from Reynolds Memorial UMC in Bristol, Virginia. And he died on Saturday, March 26th. Services were held here at West End on Friday, April 1st. God has graciously given us all that we have. As a people of faith, let us now give thanks through our tithes and offerings.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and brought us to the land flowing with milk and honey. And so, with all your people on earth and all the company of heaven, let us join in praise and thanksgiving and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He healed the suffering and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering and death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, witnessing to your wonderful love in Jesus, who called us out of the darkness and into the light of your love. When Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And on the same night, when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my cup of the new covenant. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as holy and living sacrifices, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet.
Thank you.
now with the confidence of children of God, let us pray the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ, coming to us in a way that we might recognize him. This is the cup of salvation, that we might partake of it and be transformed. Like the table mentioned in the sermon today, this is a table for all people. All are welcome. You don't have to be baptized. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship with Jesus Christ, please come and eat this feast. We have a communion offering this morning. It will be for our great day of service. We have a lot of potatoes coming, and so we hope that you'll give not only your time and energy, but also your money to help continue to make this great day truly an offering and a service. If, when you come to take communion, you'll come by way of the side aisles, kneel at the altar rail, hold your hands open so that the servers will know that you want to receive. You can stay as long as you want at the altar, and then you can leave. You'll come by way of the center aisles and lead by the side aisles. The ushers will help you. Wonderful. This is the feast of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is the body of Christ for you. You have given yourselves to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves to others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen.
I don't think what I have is catching, but I won't be greeting you at the door. I'll greet you here. Greetings as you go forth. Go forth in love to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that as you continue your pilgrimage, Christ is with you every step. Go in peace.